Okay. Open the meeting at 1:02. And I'd like to acknowledge the Malgunut people as the traditional custodians of the land and sea around the Shire of Shark Bay and within, obviously. Pay my respects to elders past, present and also emerging. Item 3, we have a... that's down the track. Oh, okay. Alrighty. Response, we have no public questions. So therefore no public question time. Applications for leave of absence. So we're gonna hold that over. Do that now. 6.1. Okay, so that's 6.1. Okay, can I have a mover and a seconder for that item? Councillor Finney? Councillor Lottie? Councillor Finney? Councillor Lottie? No comment. All in favour of the recommendation? Carried 5-0.
6.
6-0 would be better. No petitions. Item 8.1, confirmation of the minutes of the OCM held on 28th of May. Could I have a mover and a seconder to Councillor Finney? Councillor Stubblefield, any discussion? Put it to the vote. All in favour of the recommendation? Carry. 6-0. I don't have any announcements, do you? Nothing? Okay, no announcements. Okay. We will go to 10.1. Schedule of accounts to paid to be received. Could I have a mover and a second for the finance item, please? Councillor Stubblefield. Councillor Mankova. Councillor Stubblefield.
We do have a few questions for the CEO. Just on EFT for the call out of the lights on EFTs 33607 down electrical noise because after our service call after the 26th of April, no lights in the art gallery. Was that a structural problem, or is there any ongoing lack of maintenance, or even thereof?
Through the chair, Councillor Stubblefield, I'm not too sure. I'll take that on notice if I can. I'm not too sure what that was. Michelle, did you have any?
No, I would just be assuming the lines with the gallery.
Yeah, I'm assuming it was in preparation for the, what did we call it?
By the Bay.
By the Bay exhibition. So, but I will get you some detail on that.
I'm just concerned that there might have been ongoing maintenance issues arising and that might need to be on top of. EFT 33617, Max Marine mooring link and chains for the swimming pontoon. $3,200. Does this come up regularly? I hadn't seen it before, but how often does this need to be replaced?
Through the chair, Councillor Stubblefield, we inspect that periodically. Where was the?
On page 12, EFT 33617.
So I don't know if everyone noticed that was a bit on the a bit on the sly. So we do try and inspect them as often as we can. The movement of that one obviously dictated that we have a closer look at it, and there was some some real need to do quite a bit of shoring up, I guess, of that pontoon to the sea floor. So I know there was it's not a cheap exercise, and actually doing the work is another challenge again. So we're hoping that won't have to be. We haven't spent any money on that pontoon. We did on the other pontoon closer to the gala. In fact, we took that out of the water and had it up at the depot and did some fairly major maintenance to that and reassured that one. So we won't have to touch that pontoon, particularly given that it's pretty important to our swimming lessons that are conducted yes. in that area.
Okay.
And what dive team?
Not sure. Actually, I did see. Do you know?
No, that's what I was asking.
No, I just wondered whether you'd seen anything.
Did you use a local dive team, Mr. CEO, or did the business go out of town?
I think it was. I don't know. I'll check that. I'll check that and let everyone know. It was just me with a snorkel and a mask.
Is that Wally Foreman's snorkel?
That's why there's no cost to the installation.
Okay. And the final one for me was EFT 33649, Mulgana Aboriginal Corporation, Welcome to Country for By the Bay opening event, grant funded $726. Now, is this now what we are expected to pay for a Welcome to Country from time to time, or what's the situation there, please?
Through the Chair, Councillor Stubbs, just remind me where that one...
Okay, page 14.
Page 14.
Halfway up the page.
I did have a look at that one this morning. So, yeah, look, that we were able to squeeze that in with our with the grant funding mm-hmm. for that project, so that covered it. The instructions that we've received in recent times, and Michelle, jump in if I've got this wrong, but any requests for Welcome to Country need to go through the Mulgana Aboriginal Corporation.
That's what they've requested.
Yeah. And that there would be a cost, and they gave us a cost range for what that's likely to look like. So, in a lot of instances, that's going to be cost prohibitive for a lot of the stuff that this was able to be picked up through the grant funding, but it will be cost prohibitive for a lot of the Shire run events, which would more than likely.
Well,
some of the small events that we run.
That was where my concern was going, was if we're expected to pay an amount for Welcome to Country of $700, where we'd need this to become a budgetary item and have a specific fund for this to come out of.
Through the Chair, that's correct, Councillor Stubbs. If that's the way we wanted to move forward, as I mentioned, that's... Yeah, unless the project enables us to fit that within the allocated budget, i.e. we have an underspend and it allows us to squeeze that in, then we will do that. Otherwise, it will move to an acknowledgement scenario. As you know, some of the small programs that we do operate are very, very tight budgetary-wise, so it just simply wouldn't allow us. So at this stage, I don't have any intention of dedicating a budget to Welcome to Countries unless Councillor would like us to consider that.
I did have one more, sorry people, unless anyone else would like to have a go. EFT 33710, page 18, Dave Haddon, Consultant Health Officer Charges. Now, Dave Haddon is our new CEO, our new Environmental Health Officer, correct?
Slip of the tongue.
Through the Chair, Councillor Stubbs, that is correct.
CEO of Health Officers. now, does the $5,200 relate to a week, a day, 3 days?
So, through the Chair, as you rightly pointed out, Dave is our new Wendy. Dave is a consultant, like Liz, is a consultant Environmental Health Officer, so a similar arrangement to what we have with Liz. Wendy, as you may recall, was employed by the Shire of Northampton, and in that capacity she serviced a number of other surrounding councils. Dave has a number of other councils that he looks after. Works well with Liz because he a lot of those councils that he represents, Liz also represents, so they have a bit to do with each other. We hadn't seen Wendy for quite a little while, so there was a fair bit for Dave to get across and catch up on, a few premises that he needed to visit, so that is a week-long visitation.
How often do we expect, this is a $5,000 account, can we expect the $5,000 account once every 3 months or once every, or is it going to be less on a more regular basis? Or
yeah, look, I don't think that we will need him for week-long efforts moving forward, because we were able to get on top of a lot of backlog that, so within a week, you know, all the food premises, all the accommodation sites, all of the swimming pools, all done in that 1 week effort. It also gave Dave a great opportunity to get his bearings here and understand what's here. There's still a bit of work to do in the environmental health space. So look, it may be that we probably need another week-long effort from Dave, but into the future, that's you know, likely to be moved to a couple of days. You know, if we can get him up here half a dozen times a year, I think that will make sure that we stay on top of everything we need to from an environmental health perspective.
So how does that spend compare to what we would have allocated towards Wendy?
Well, given that we hadn't, certainly in terms of this current budget, there's going to be an underspend for environmental health consultancy, because we just didn't get Wendy as often as we would have liked. So I haven't revisited that budget in terms of whether what we have there now is going to suffice moving forward. But it could be that it's a slight increase. But if that means we get a greater presence from Dave, I think that's a better outcome.
Thank you.
Okay, so we've got a mover and a seconder, Councillor Stubblefield, and is that where we're at?
Yep.
And Councillor Mankova. All in favour of the recommendation?
Carried 6-0.
Could I have a move and a second for the item, please? Councillor Stubblefield? Councillor Vancouver? Councillor Stubblefield?
Can I just ask for the CEO to give us a quick rundown on the comments section? And can you just point out what the strand line situation, how it may affect?
Through the chair, Councillor Stubblefield, what given that we've got two sets of financials here, being April and May, I don't know whether Council's happy just to move the April, and we can focus on the May, which are our most current set of financials, and I can talk about the strand line scenario.
That to the vote, all in favour of the recommendation? Carried 6-0. Cool.
10.3, financial reports, 31st of May. Could I have a mover and a seconder for this item, please? Councillor Stubblefield. Councillor Vancouver. Councillor Stubblefield.
As per foreshadowed, would the CEO mind giving that information requested on the last item, please?
Through the chair, thanks, Councillor Stubblefield. In terms of the summary of where we sit currently, in terms of the finances, so council will note that our operating revenue is under budget. The biggest component of that is a less than year-to-date position in terms of our fees and charges. Our fees and charges, the biggest component of that is the, and I've mentioned this in previous meetings, is the main roads work that we do as undertakers, private works. This year, all of that work is taking place on the Shark Bay Road. In terms of the shoulder works. The main roads WA were significantly delayed in terms of letting us know what sections of that road that they wanted us to do, hence where the timing not only of the work but therefore the on-charging of our costs for that work plus our margin, that which is 20%, that goes on top of those works, has been delayed, and therefore hasn't significantly been reflected as yet in the fees and charges operating income. The end of June we'll see probably close to a $200,000 plus improvement in the fees and charges category. You'll also notice that correspondingly, we have managed our operating expenditure quite well. The best document to look at is on page 48 there, which is just the overall statement of financial activity. So we can see that if we go down to the just above the investing activities, whilst we are sitting behind in terms of our operating income, our operating expenditure, there's quite significant savings in that category. So our operating activity outcome is actually more favourable than what we budgeted for. Councillor Stubblefield noted that, and we will have a potential impact in operating income in the general rates category. I'm pretty sure that Strandline is our single biggest ratepayer in the Shire. As Council knows, they're currently under voluntary administration. They have a rates debt outstanding to the Shire of $257,000. We know we're going to be guaranteed probably a tad under half of that figure. The administrator is responsible for the payment of everything pro rata from when they were appointed as administrators, which was in February of this year. We know that they're down to the final stages of assessing two bids to purchase the mine, which is currently in care and maintenance. So I think there's no more than 8 staff out there at the moment. The staff on site were recently all sent home, and the returning shift was told to stay at home. Those two buyers, as far as I can tell at this point, whichever one is successful, has indicated a commitment to looking to pay the Shire's rates debt in full, which are predominantly for mining tenements. So there is some recognition there that the Shire is an important creditor with regard to any new owner. It remains to be seen whether or not that actually takes place. We're expecting to know who the buyer is, who the successful buyer is, and I understand that they're very confident that there will be, hopefully by the middle of next month, in the second half of next month. And so that's I've had all that correspondence from the administrator. So it's an unfortunate situation, but you know, fingers crossed we can get the bulk of those monies that are owed.
Any further discussion on that item? All in favour?
Would the CEO like to assure us of the correction of the typo?
The sorry, councillor, that the one we touched on before the well, it's actually not a typo. It's a so if I can get council to go to page 56. Which is a summary of our accounts. I just wanted to make mention to council of the SHRP grant term deposit, which has a negative, I think it was 56,664, just to let council know that that was journaled to the, that figure was journaled to the wrong account, has since been journaled to the correct GL. And that will be reflected in next month's next month's financials. Happy to take any other
Okay, any further discussion? Put the recommendation to the vote. All in favour? 6-0.10.4, Community Hub Hughes Street. Mover and seconder for that recommendation, please. Councillor McIver. Oh, okay. Councillor Smith, sorry. Okay, Councillor McIver. Councillor Finney has a disclosure of interest impartiality. Thank you. Councillor McIver.
I'm happy to support the officer's recommendation. Mm-hmm.
Councillor Smith?
Happy to support, thank you.
Any other discussion on the item? Put it to the vote.
Sorry, through the chair, just before we move on, there's just a, there's a slight amendment to the recommendation on item 10.4, which was simply to include the date of the 30th of June 2026. So the council approved charging no rent until 30 June 2026. Just to not make it read sort of open-ended and that we continue to.
Councillor Stubbfield?
Can we ask the for an update, please, on the status of the of the men's shed, in while we're in this discussion point.
Through the chair, I'll let the exec manager community development comment on that.
Through the chair, I've done a review of their incorporation status just the other day, and they've been deregistered. We've sat down with Tony Schkadoon and let him know that the operation of the men's shed can't continue in its current level of inactivity and lack of governance. I haven't yet got the keys back off him. We have some plans in place where we've got the Regional Men's Health Initiative coming up next month to assist them in becoming operational and getting a few ideas on how they can run a more inclusive men's shed with a broader range of programs. I've got Luke working on that with Men's Shed WA. Now, if council would like me to proceed with getting the keys back from them until this is resolved, I can do. I need to see what sort of insurance implications there are, because although I haven't viewed the insurance certificate, Tony assures me they are insured, but I just don't... I don't see how they can be if they've been deregistered.
Through the chair, thanks, Michelle. Just so the men's shed doesn't form part of this resolution. This is and for that reason that they're currently unincorporated. Is that the correct term? So we're really just looking at this relative to the mums and bubs and the war on waste offerings.
Yeah. However, the men's shed doesn't form part of the resolution, but it is mentioned in paragraph on page 20, and that's why I raised it.
Any other discussion on the recommendation? Good. All in favour? 6-0. Item 11, Town Planning Report. 11.1, could I have a mover and seconder, please? Councillor Fenny. Councillor Vancouver. Councillor Fenny.
Yeah, I'd like to support the recommendation, but I would also like to take the opportunity to hopefully hear from the CEO regarding the update with WAX and that site.
Through the chair, Councillor Fenny, thank you. In terms of their plan moving forward is obviously they're obviously keen to invest. They're going to continue to invest in that facility. This item allows them the flexibility to do that. In terms of if you're talking about resourcing. At this stage, they continue to be committed to the three full-time nurses. I'm of the understanding, and Michelle, jump in if I've got this wrong again, but that the third nurse at the moment, I believe, is what they term an agency nurse, and that which will change from time to time. And there's the two full-time based here permanently, remote area nurses. So. At this stage, there is a commitment to the three full-time resources. I guess I continue to get feedback on performance and service levels. I know that they continue to be quite stretched in terms of their ability to resource the facility. It's been impacted recently, I believe, with a number of RFDS cases that have seen the girls work some incredibly long stints up there. And there was I think we had three flyouts in succession, which meant that it left us because of the need to manage fatigue with just the one resource there just recently. But I believe we're through that period.
That was my question, because I heard that they had to close the centre, and I was going to ask you if the Shire has been notified that the service was closed for the day.
We
I've had that feedback as well. They just closed down and didn't tell anyone anything.
I would have to agree with that there was no formal heads up that this was taking place. It was only through myself making a call to WAX actually on another matter that this I had no awareness of this and it came up in that conversation, because I continued to talk to them about relieving the Shire of the morgue responsibilities as part of an ongoing discussion that we have with them. That's what happened. That was the reason for the closure. They had limited, a really limited ability to service the needs of the community for that those RFDS requirements.
So, what is the actual hierarchy there? I mean, are the nurses actually in charge? They can make that kind of decision, like we're just shutting down for 2 days, because we're, for whatever reason. As far as I can gather, the general community here wasn't aware of it.
Through the chair, that instruction would come from WAC's seniority. That
you'd
wouldn't,
hope so.
And that that decision, as I said, would be made on the basis of the need to manage the fatigue of the nurses that were involved in those RFDS incidents. So. That instruction to reduce the hours or reduce the availability of the centre would come from WAC in Carnarvon.
That's fine, but did our community, were we aware of it? Were people who may have needed emergency?
To my knowledge, and Michelle, are you aware of any notification that came out from WAC in terms of those reduced...
Through the chair, I wasn't made aware at all. It was my understanding that they had one nurse to keep services running. So if that's not the case, then we didn't receive any information at all.
Yeah, and look, I can only suggest that it was a fairly unexpected number of RFDS call-outs. But you're right. The bottom line is they didn't alert us to those reduced services and reduced resources. So. My next hookup with actually Michelle's involved in that as well. Hookup with WAC is next week. So we'll bring that up in discussions.
Okay. Any further discussion on this item? Put the recommendation to the vote. All in favour? 386 now. Okay. That's it.
That is it. 135.
Wow. What is it?
Yeah, you have to close it.
Yep. Okay, no further business. Close the meeting at 1:35 p.m. Thank you, everyone.